when heaven touches earth.
Amen. Well, welcome everyone. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas vacation, and I'm glad you made it to church here. Last service of the year. Congratulations, amen. This is a wonderful time, isn't it? It's good to start off the year right, but it's good to finish the year right too. Amen. By being in church, and good thing. I have a few announcements before we get started. First of all, we want to welcome our first-time guests. If you're here for the first time, or if you've maybe visited once or twice and we haven't had a chance to meet you, Ellie and I usually head back to the couches in the back here just to meet first-time guests, and we just love to meet you if we haven't. And we also have a gift for you. I think there's a little coffee mug and a gift card in there to La Madeleine, but we'd just love to take the chance to get to know you for a second. I want to let you know, if you have been coming for a while and you have not joined the church yet, but it's been on your heart to come to membership class, we have four classes that we're what we call our growth track, and those kick off in January. The first one's going to be on January 4th, and what's what we call a Church 101. And in this class, it's literally about the kind of the tenets of the church, what we believe, that kind of thing. And you don't have to say, hey, I'm going to be a member to show up or anything like that. It's kind of a kick the tires class is what I call it. You can come and just kind of feel it out, ask questions. It's a real informal environment. We have lunch provided there and also lunch for your kids there. And so you don't have to sign up. You just have to show up. So we have plenty of lunch for everybody there that wants to attend. And so make plans for that if you haven't done that yet. And also, we are kicking off a new series today called Closer. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be endeavoring to draw closer to God individually, as a family, and then as a church also. And so we're going to be doing 21 days of prayer and fasting beginning on January 4th, and it's going to lead all the way up to the 24th. And so we'll have some things for you, some tools on our website about prayer and fasting, some guidelines I'll talk a little bit about today in the message today. And so be ready for that. How many of you guys are ready to kick off 2015 the right way? Amen. And so we'll talk about how to get your year going here in just a minute. And that's really it. So God's got some great things in store for us. I know that this year is just, I'm just full of expectation for 2015. I was driving in the car on the way over here to LA, and I was with Ellie and my kids, and I was feeling just the excitement. The way I feel for this year is just unbelievable. So I'm going to try and share that with you so you can be sure and I think get what the Lord is saying to us today. So if you would take your Bible and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. And so as I introduce this series, really I'm talking to you today for the next 4 weeks about drawing closer to God. And so this series title is titled Closer. And I know I probably can appeal to everybody here. How many of you want to be closer to God? That's an easy yes, right? Easy yes, me, I want to be closer. If you don't want to be closer, we have prayer for you, you know, anyway. But everybody wants to be closer to God. That's the reason you come to church. That's the reason you pray, you read, you draw closer. We want to be closer, but yet sometimes we don't know exactly how to draw closer. And so this series really is about is drawing closer to God so we can know Him more, know His plans for our life more, so we can get to where we are supposed to be in God. And I kind of liken it this to God is always oftentimes trying to get us from being where we are to being where we're supposed to be. And so as you read scriptures, you can read story after story, whether it's Abraham or Joseph or Jacob or Moses. They're always going from one place to another. God is always on the move, and God is trying to get you and I to go from one place to the next as well. How many of you know that God doesn't want you to stay right where you are? He doesn't want you to be stuck spiritually. He doesn't want you to stay where you are economically. There's no level of stay the same, really, that's in God's kingdom. He wants to elevate us, and He wants us to grow. And so today's message is really about how to get, I would call it, from right here to over there, if that's where I'm supposed to be. How to move from one place where I am to be in the place where God's called me. And the prophet Jeremiah was on the earth, and when he was there, he was given this prophecy to the children of Israel while they were in exile into the land of Babylon. Now, this happened because the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had come into Jerusalem, sacked the whole city, basically, and taken all their wealth and taken all the people that were the rulers of the people, the business people, the governors, the officials, many of the priests, and took them out of the land. And now Jeremiah, who remained in Jerusalem, is prophesying to the children of Israel that, hey, after a set period of time, you're going to come back. The promises of God for your life are going to still be fulfilled. And so he's giving them this message for them. And I believe that in here is a prophetic message really for the body of Christ. It's for all of us who have a plan and a purpose from God, which is all of you, it's all of us included, but yet sometimes we're not walking into the level that we should be, and we want to go to that next place. And so this is a message I believe that's hopeful, encouraging to you, because this is what Jeremiah said. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Isn't it good to know that the Lord has a plan for you, first of all? Have you ever felt like you just didn't have a plan? It was just kind of going, amen, God's got a plan. He says this, so specifically, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So he really gives them this whole message of good news. The bad news was in the previous verse here, which says after a 70-year period of time, because they had 70 more years that they were going to be spending in that. That's not a word for us. And so I left that out of here for today. Aren't you thankful? Amen. So you don't have to wait for this. But I believe prophetically there are scriptures where there's patterns in the Old Testament even that we can gain and learn from and say, and we can apply them to our life now. And I believe this, that God has a plan for your life and mine. He's got something for you. The good news is he's got a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. Isn't that wonderful? He's got a plan to elevate you. He's got a plan to bring prosperity in your life. I'll say that again. He's got a plan to bring prosperity in your life. It's good news, right? Amen. Take it if you want it. Amen. I don't know. Not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. And I love this. It's not just prosperity. It's not just blessings. You know, there's many people that have had blessings in their life and have prospered financially, but didn't have any hope. I mean, we've had actors. We've had people that unfortunately, due to mental illness or whatever, but depression, have taken their lives. They had wealth. They had prosperity, but they had no hope. God didn't come to give you just prosperity, but he also wants to give you hope, and he wants to give you a future. He wants to give you the full package. Amen. He's not here to leave you out with anything. He says, I have come to give this to you. He says, then this. Everybody say then. Amen. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. So literally the Lord has a role here. His role is to dole out the plans for his people. He's here to give us some things for us to accomplish in life, for us to draw close to God, for us to walk out the things that he has for us. And he begins to tell us it's going to be a good plan. It's a plan to prosper us. It's a plan to bring us into a great future and hope. But he says this, even when he begins to give you an inkling of the plan, he says, soon as you know that though, then you have something you and I have to do. And it's called call on the Lord. He says, once you know this, then you will call on me, and then you will seek me. And when you search for me with all your heart, then you will find me. And so I kind of call this call, seek, and encounter. This is really, I think, what the Lord's called us during this closer series. This is what we're going to be doing over the next 4 weeks. We are going to be calling on the Lord, seeking him with all our heart, and encountering him. Amen? Encountering him, because he says, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. He says, if you call on me, I'll answer. And so I am seeking the Lord. I am calling on the Lord. I want some prayers answered. Do you have any prayers that you want answered for 2015? Yes, yes, of course you do. So you've got some things you want. Corporately, we have some things as a family, but yet there's some things we have to do. We've got to call on the Lord, and we have to seek. I love this thing about seek, because it implies here that something in additional to just prayer, it's keeping your eyes open and looking for something that you're in great desire of. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever lost your watch or a wedding ring or a child at the mall, if you've ever lost something very important to you, you weren't just calling for them, but you had your eyes peeled and you were looking for them at every turn of the way, right? You are looking for them at no matter what. You are seeking out to find them. And then when you found them, you encountered them and you were happy. And the Lord says this, if you seek for me after that, just like you would the most valuable thing in your life that you lost, if you seek me that way, you'll find me. You'll encounter me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to seek the Lord like never before. And I'm inviting you on this journey with me for the next 21 days, beginning January 4th, for us to seek God personally, corporately, as a family, and in your family, for us to encounter God. Because that's the hope, that we'll hear from him. He'll speak to us. He'll move us from here to there. He'll take us to another level. Amen? So this is what this message is about. This is what this series is about. So we're going to be talking the next few weeks about worship and about prayer. But today I want to talk to you really about seeking the Lord in a time of fasting. In a time of fasting. If you would turn with me to Matthew 17. I'm going to give you several scriptures to kind of parse through. So if you're taking notes, these notes oftentimes are on our website as well. But you can see another copy of them there. But take some notes, because in here there's a lot in the Word about fasting. Many of the prophets of old fast. Ezra fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Daniel fasted, many of the apostles, Jesus fasted, Moses fasted 40 days twice, Jesus fasted 40 days before he began his ministry. Fasting was a prevalent part of the Old Testament. It's a prevalent part of the New Testament church, but it's something that the body of Christ sometimes doesn't talk about a lot, particularly here in America. If you go to other churches across the country, if you go to China and you see what they're doing, if you go to even Latin American countries, there's a lot of fasting going on. Many times they're encountering different elements of warfare even than we are here. I believe our warfare is a little bit more subtle, a little bit more different. It's more of a lazy kind of thing that comes upon America that we can get seduced into if we're not careful. And so sometimes we don't think we're in a battle. But how many of you know you're in a battle? You're in a battle for your spirit, for your calling, and God wants us to be seeking him about it. And this is a story here about a man who was seeking a breakthrough. And so if this is really a prophetically just about your life here. If you needed a breakthrough for your life, listen to this passage. This was a man in Matthew 17, verse 14. It says, and when they had come to the multitude, this is Jesus and the disciples, they came across a great multitude of people. And a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. So here at this time, Jesus had obviously been laying hands on the sick, healing people. He had been sending out the disciples. They had been telling people about Jesus. People had been getting healed, set free, saved, delivered. All this had been happening about the disciples. And so that was not unusual for them to even come up to the disciples. In verse 17, and then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So this is a really interesting story. It's nothing I don't think we would do here in church here if somebody came up and said, hey, I need prayer for healing. And they prayed, and some of the people couldn't pray. So I'm praying for them, and I say, I just rebuke you perverse and faithless generation of people. How long am I going to put up with you? I don't think you guys would want to come to a church like that, would you? You know, that's what Jesus said to the congregation that day, right? He said, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I put up with you? And what he's saying here, he gives them two things that I think we do need to pay attention to, because there was a reason why the child wasn't getting set free. There was a reason why the child wasn't getting healed. And the reason he gives of why there's not a breakthrough here is because there's not much faith. And because there's a perversion there. And so what this really means here, I kind of wrote this down from a definition, being faithless or being without belief is really just not being connected to God. It's not being connected to him. What he was saying then is you don't have enough faith. You're a faithless generation. You're a group of people that just don't believe. You don't have that relationship with God. You don't know who you are. You don't know the promises that he has for you. And so therefore, you're not walking in faith and you're not connected the way you should be. The next problem he tells him, he says that you're a perverse generation. And without giving into detail what that could or could not mean, I'll just say this. They weren't connected to God, and they're probably too much connected to the world. Too much connected to the world. You can maybe remember a time in your life when you were too much connected to the world and God had to deliver you from some of those things. And maybe this is what was going on in their life, because he gives them the reason. This is the reason why there was not breakthrough in their life, was because they weren't connected to God and they were too connected to the world. Too connected to the world. So during this time of fasting and prayer, what we're going to be doing is desiring to shift all that, because he goes on and tells them, and he gives them not just the problem, but then, you know, Matthew records and he gives us the solution, because in verse 19, Jesus goes on to tell them, he says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and says, why could we not cast it out? So the story continues. You know, Jesus tells them, you faithless and perverse generation. He tells them blankly, you know, it's because of your unbelief. You're not connected to God and you're too connected to the world. But then the disciples, once they're private, they came to Jesus on their own and said, give me the scoop. What's the deal? How come this wouldn't work? Now, this happened often with the disciples. They got things explained to them. When you read the scriptures, Jesus many times would teach to the multitudes, and then he would gather the disciples and he would explain to them what the parables meant. Wouldn't you like to be a disciple and get things explained to you? So this is what he's doing here. He said, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. So he goes on there to talk about being faithless. He said, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, everybody say faith, as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I love that, and the fact that all he does is say is that you have to have faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain. Isn't that good news? That if you got some huge thing in your life that you've got to overcome, if you've got a mountain that looks like a mountain of debt, a mountain of sickness, a mountain of poverty, a mountain of whatever it is out there, it doesn't take a mountain of faith to move it. It just takes a seed of faith, a mustard seed of faith. I don't know about you, that's good news to me. That's really, really good news. That I don't have to be some theological giant. I don't have to have a doctorate in theology. I don't have to have spent 20 years studying the Word of God. I just have to have a little bit of faith to say, you know what, that doesn't belong to me. I'm a child of God. That's not for me. This is for me. I claim this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm walking in it. Just a little bit of faith, okay? That's what he's saying to them. But then he says this. He says, however, verse 21, this kind does not go out except by, say it with me, prayer and fasting. And fasting. So that's what we're going to be doing and talking about over the next few weeks. Prayer. Today I'm going to talk about fasting. So he gives the solution really to the problem. The problem, he says, is that you're faithless. The solution is prayer. Prayer connects you to God. If you're faithless, it's because you're not connected to God. So prayer, what that's going to do, when you spend time in prayer, you're going to start being connected to God more and more. Just by taking 10, 15 minutes a day, reading your Bible, praying, talking to God, listening to God, your relationship with God is going to go to a whole nother level. Your confidence of who you are in Christ and who he is as your Father is going to go to a whole nother level. It's going to change the atmosphere of your relationship with him, and you're going to walk at another level of authority in your life. It's true. It doesn't matter whether I'm talking with our staff meeting. Whenever we meet as a team, there's times when we meet more often. Boy, I just feel like, man, we're in it. We're locked arms. And then if we're busy and somebody's on vacation, I've been out or two and we haven't met, it kind of feels like, hey, what's going on? Are we ready for this next week? You know, you don't feel the same level of confidence. Same thing is true with your spouse. If I have this relationship with my wife who I love with all my heart, but I choose not to commune with her, I choose not to listen to her, which would be horrible, right? If I choose not to spend time with her and talk with her, what's our relationship going to be like? And what's the confidence that she's going to have to walk in our relationship? It's not going to be what it should be. So the same is true in our walk with God. The more we commune with him, the more we're in fellowship with him, the more we're listening to him, the more he's saying, hey, take this mountain, take that hill, start this business, do this, move in this direction. I'm doing it, I'm going, all right? Because why? Because he said so. And I'm walking with my chest out and I'm ready to go. Because I know I can do it because he said so. So that's faith, knowing that you're walking with God. So prayer connects you to God. Fasting is the antidote for perversity. If perverseness is really being connected to much of the world, fasting is really disconnecting yourself from the world. It's getting awful quiet in here when I'm talking about fasting because I know it's the holiday season. I know you got a plate full of Christmas cookies with green and white and red icing on it. I think we have a whole plate still, and you've got a ham and a turkey and all that. We had some dear friends give us a beautiful ham, and it was wonderful. And so that's still in our house that needs to be eaten. How many of you guys have some leftovers still? So you're not in the mood to fast just yet, right? I know it. So I'm giving you this a whole 8 days or 7 days in advance. You got 7 days to knock it out of the park. Eat whatever you want to eat. Do whatever you want to do. I'm joking. But in all seriousness, once this season of eating whatever we want comes to an end, you know you can't just do that year-round, can you? Aren't you glad it's not year-round? It wouldn't be the same. So anyway, but you know, there's some seasons where it's good to cut back and it's good to disconnect a little bit. And so, and that's what fasting is. It's disconnecting from the world. It's disconnecting a little bit so I can connect better to God. It's connecting better to God. You know, when I was thinking about times of fasting, Ellie and I, our story really, our marriage was really birthed on fasting. Our ministry was birthed on fasting. I tell people this, you can fast different things. It's not just not food. You know, you are a body, and your body's connection to this world really is through food and through, you know, drink and things like that. And that will, if you begin to cut off that umbilical cord to the physical desires of your flesh, then you begin to put your flesh under, and your spirit can be stronger. We are three-part beings. You have a body. You also have a soul, which is your mind and your will, emotions. And many people entertain that as well. That's your connection to entertainment, video games, movies. Just want to always have something going on. People over all the time. No time for prayer because I always got to have somebody over all the time entertaining me. That's just entertaining your soulless realm, right? Which is not necessarily a bad thing, but if it's connected too much to that, it can crowd out your spirit. And what God wants to do is he wants us to increase our spirit strength and decrease our soulish strength and our physical strength in that race as far as a connection to the world. Does that make sense? My dad described it this way. He said he had a mentor, Dr. Ed Cole, years ago, that described literally fasting to be like breaking the umbilical cord to the things of the world. You know, almost like a child has an umbilical cord. We end up having that. And so fasting is just about cutting that off for a period of time so I can connect to the Father in a greater way. But you can fast different stuff. So you can fast television, you can fast movies, you can fast sweets, you can fast meats, you can do different things. When I was single, I needed a breakthrough. I remember I was 28 years old or almost 29, and I had not met the woman. I had met her, but I didn't know she was the woman I was going to marry. And I had tried my best in my own strength to find the woman of God that I was supposed to marry, and it just was not working out. And I basically gave up on my own, and I decided to fast dating. Nobody wants to do that. I understand that. But I did that. But I'll just tell you this as a testimony. After trying my best for 28 years on my own, within 6 months, God gave me a vision and a dream right in the middle of that. And he gave me a vision about Ellie. And Ellie and I were best friends. And we never really considered each other. You know, we were just friends. I hadn't considered her for a wife. But the Lord began to show me that she was his best pick for me. And that she would be an incredible wife. And so all of a sudden, it was like, I felt like the apostle Saul, whose eyes, scales fell off his eyes. And all of a sudden, I looked at her and I was like, Ellie's going to be my wife? And so I actually knew Ellie was going to be my wife before I ever went on a first date with her. And the reason is because I fasted dating. I fasted some things. I say our ministry, the church that we used to go to in Atlanta, Georgia, which our pastor is going to come here sometime in April. He's one of our overseers, Dennis Rouse. They have a phenomenal church, Victory World Church there. Huge church, couple campuses, 12,000 plus people or more. But when we started, it was small, kind of like this, and we were going there. But he used to fast and pray, and we'd fast every the beginning of the year. And so that was just a part of our journey, was fasting and prayer. And so there were seasons of that when God began to speak to us. And there was a season just a few years ago where I knew that God was calling us to plant a church. He'd spoke to me 10 years ago or more, 8 years ago, that it would happen and that it would be in the city, but I just didn't know when and I didn't know where. But it was in 2012 when Ellie and I went on a vacation with our kids for 10 days. And really, we decided to not make it just a vacation of going out and hitting putt-putt all day and all the amusement parks and that kind of stuff. But we set aside the first half of every day. We didn't even get out of the house till around noon or 1. And we all journaled and we all read our Bible and we all prayed together. And it was in the middle of that 10-day period of time that the Lord gave me the dream and a vision for this church. He spoke to me about the city, told me about everything that it was going to be, that I saw, even the location, all that kind of stuff. The reason we're here today was because we spent some time in prayer and fasted just from some entertainment, some things of the world. So if you need a breakthrough, fasting and prayer is one of the keys to it. Amen? So let me give you a few more scriptural backgrounds for this thing so you can see this. Jesus was asked the question this about about his disciples, because when Jesus was on the scene, his disciples didn't fast. And so in Matthew chapter 9, it says, "Then the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.'" And so Jesus is saying this, that, you know, when the disciples were on the earth there with Jesus before he died and was raised again, there was no really need to fast because Jesus was there. So, you know, he was doing all the praying. I mean, they were praying too, I'm sure, but Jesus was up early. He was doing it, and they were walking with him. There's really no need for them to fast, but he was telling them, he said, "But there will be a day," and that's the day we're in now, when his disciples will fast, and that's you and me. In Acts chapter 13, as we see the church begin to grow, and you begin to see what happened as God, the Holy Spirit, began to give a strategy for how's the church going to grow, he began to speak to the apostles, and he anointed men. And when you read, it's amazing, when you read Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, you begin to see what happened with the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, and was converted in his conversion, and how him and Barnabas and these guys, they preached the gospel. Great power was there. Churches began to explode in numbers. There were men of God that were filled with God's Spirit, and there were people that were just doing the will of God, and people were getting saved all over. How many of you want to go to that church? How many know this is that church in Jesus' name? Amen? We got a pastor full of people that are filled with the Spirit of God. They're going to be getting people saved and telling people about the Lord, right? That's who we are at Creed Church. And so anyway, this is what was happening there. But then the Holy Spirit said, hey, I don't want you just to evangelize Jerusalem. That would be like us, you know, having all just this little area right here. He said, I want you to go out to all the world. And so he said to them, it says, they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. Everybody say fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then having fasted, everybody say fasted. Y'all kind of quiet. Fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. They sent them away. And so the Holy Spirit gave them the assignment and they walked into the authority of the next thing. Everybody say next thing God had for the church and he had for the Apostle Paul after they fasted and prayed. So God is again trying to get us to move from over here to over there, to where he wants us to be, right? And so in 2 Corinthians, it continues. Paul gives a story in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. It's the chapter about when he talks about how miserable his life was. You know, how he was shipwrecked off and beaten off and left for dead. If you're ever discouraged, read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You're going to think, oh, what a wonderful life I have. Apostle Paul went through you know what and more for the sake of the cross. And so he did this, but I conclude it in verse 27. I just put that up there. He says, I was in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and in fastings often. And so this was just a part of his life. But he lived a miraculous life. You know, sometimes you could look at his life, and if you read this, you'd be like, I'm glad that's not me. But you know what? You would want to be him if you could. Did you know what? He's the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament of which we read today. Did you know that? He wrote Romans. He wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. He wrote so many of the letters to the churches in the different cities and started, I mean, his ministry helped turn the world upside down. It helped what bring the gospel to the Gentiles. That was his ministry. Anybody want to sign up for that? Yeah. Come on. I would want that, right? Now, there could be some things, but you know, God's going to be with you all along the way. You don't have to be afraid. He walked in a security that God was with him. And his life just it wasn't about what he was going through at that particular point in time. And so this is what fasting will do. It'll draw you into God. It'll help you. It'll help you disconnect from the world. It'll help you put your body under. It'll help you in every way walk in this whole another facet with God. And God will just bless you. He'll do great things in your life. He'll take you and you'll walk with this Spirit anointing on you. And you'll feel like his presence is like just right here. Right here. And you'll hear him more and you'll listen and he'll speak things to you about the future. And when you walk in him, you'll walk in him in faith and they're going to happen. They're going to happen. Amen. You're not twisting God's arm. You're not doing it. And then he's doing it. He's already laid out the plans for you. But he's saying all you have to do now is call upon me, seek me, and then you'll encounter me. That's what he's saying. So our role is just to seek, to call, and encounter. And that's why during this 21 days of prayer, we're also going to have on Sunday nights, on Sunday night the 4th and the 11th and the 18th, we are going to have encounter worship services here and prayer services. So we're all going to be here in one service as a family, and we're going to be seeking God and praying and just going after God. Because you know what? It's more than I want to do more than just seek, and I do want to do more than just pray. I want to encounter the Lord, don't you? I want to encounter him. I remember, if you can think of the times when you've encountered the most, the Lord was just speaking to me this morning in prayer that the best times that we've ever had, Ellie and I have had some great times of ministry, wonderful times of fasting and prayer. We used to fast at the church we go to when we would do it. I mean, you'd walk with this expectation. We'd expect the Holy Spirit to show up. People, I didn't know. I mean, every time we showed up, we thought, and the Holy Spirit was there, we thought something was going to happen. Do you guys come to church expecting something to happen? You know what we should? We should be expecting somebody to get healed. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to say, I'm going to get something I need. I'm going to get a breakthrough I need. I'm going to get a word from the Lord I need. If not, why are you coming to church? I mean, we need to be coming, right? Expecting for God to move. Expect him to move. You know, he's the God of breakthrough. He's the God that shifts things. And he was telling me this. He said, whatever you've experienced in the past is nothing to what's to come. And all of a sudden, I was like, yes. Yes, and I'm more excited now about right now than I've ever been in my entire life. I am more excited about this day and the next week's service than I am even our first service that we had, which was awesome. And we had like 300, it was a great day, huge day. But I'm more excited about next week than I am even that day because God's looking ahead and I am too. Are you? Amen? So we need to be, not look back. I mean, let's thank God for what he did in the past, but let's be excited about what he's doing in the future, and let's expect him to do great things because he's going to bring some breakthrough in your life. So let me give you a couple practical things that you need to do in order to get ready to fast and pray, okay? Now, I'm not going to give you a bunch of rules or anything, but first of all, I want you to do is you do need to set an objective. Everybody say objective. Yeah. Set a goal. You know, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to happen? You know, is your life the way you want it? Do you want your heart more tender? Do you want your hear God more? Do you want a breakthrough in your life, in your family, in your marriage? What is it you want? And write it down. Say, God, I am seeking after, I want this. I want this promotion. I want this new job. I want this new company. I want this, I need a breakthrough in something. And write it down. What do you want him to do in your heart? Do you want him to soften it? Do you remember the times when he spoke to you the clearest and it was the loudest and you felt like you were on this journey with him and it was just you and him? If you want that back again, then ask for that and more. Amen? Write it down. Declare your dependence on God. Here's a few things. Ask for forgiveness. Refocus on the eternal. Invite the presence of the Lord in your life. Seek him like never before. Write down the things that you want. You know, one of the things about times of fasting and prayer that as close as it gets, it always comes to an end. And when you're in the middle of it, you're thinking, when's this going to end? And then at the end of it, you're like, it's already over. But you know one thing you got to be careful of is you don't let go of everything that you got when you get it. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, what he's going to do in your life. And so write down some goals and objectives. And then two, decide what type of fast you want to do. Do you want to do a total fast, which may be abstaining from food and water? Maybe, I wouldn't recommend that for a long time, maybe a day. You don't want to abstain from water long, but some people went on absolute fast in the Bible, so I'm not recommending that. But you can do a water-only fast. And you know this, you may not know this, but our bodies, most healthy people can go 40, 50, 60 days, sometimes even say 70 days without food. Now, if you're 7% body fat, that's not recommended. But I'm a little bit more than that, so I could probably go 100. I don't know about you. But you know, we can go longer than what we think, right? Now, the only reason to do that really is just if God tells you to, and to just disconnect yourself from the world a little bit, from that area. Now, in this church, and I'm not going to tell you what kind of fast to do. I'm not going to say, hey, we're all doing this kind of fast. In fact, I encourage you to ask the Lord what you should do. Maybe for some of you, you're not supposed to fast food at all. Maybe it's just the Christmas cookies that are left over after January 1. I don't know. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's games. Oh, it got quiet over here on the side. Maybe it's games. Maybe it's, I don't know, entertainment of some sort. You know, maybe there's something that you're doing. That you say, hey, I'm spending too much time doing that. I know what my thing is. I don't have to share it with you just because I love golf. I'm in golf with all my I may need to cut back on golf just a little bit, right? Just a little bit, though, not a lot. Don't want to absolute fast it, do I? It's cold. Maybe it's a good season to fast it. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, so decide what kind of fast you do. Daniel chapter 10 gives an idea of what happened to him. He said, in these days, this was a time of mourning for Daniel because he had heard a prophecy from the Lord of really kind of that was not good for the people of Israel. And when he heard it, he said, in those days, Daniel was mourning for 3 full weeks. That's where the church kind of gets a 21-day fast. There's a lot of churches that do 21-day fast. Guys, 21 days, there's nothing super. You might have your breakthrough in one day. It may take 30. I don't know. But we're taking this 21 days and just setting aside, not as a rule. Not that you. I want you to. If you're not fasting, feel free to go to lunch. If I'm going to lunch with you, I may or may not eat, and you may or may not. And I'm not. I don't care if you do, as long as you don't care if I don't or do. Amen. You're not supposed to let everybody know what you are and you aren't fasting. You know, I don't think there should be anything, but you should prepare yourself. Maybe if you are fasting some things, you need to kind of arrange your schedule appropriately. But here's what he did. He didn't fast from food, but he said this, I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth. And I did not anoint myself at all. I don't recommend that, by the way. I'd like for you to take a shower before you come to church. But anyway, some people, maybe. But anyway, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So this is what he did. He didn't abstain from food. He just abstained from certain types of food. Maybe there's certain types of something that you need to abstain from. And then do this. Expect results. Expect something great. I want to close with this scripture. I want to read this to you. Now, this is Isaiah. This is one of the most incredible scriptures on fasting. In fact, there's more to it. All Isaiah chapter 58 even gives instructions about fasting. It talks about different types of fast, that, you know, and even being careful while you're fasting, that you keep the most important things important. Because what happens, sometimes they were caught doing religious things, but they weren't treating each other the right way. They weren't being fair. They weren't being honest with the people they dealt with. And so the Lord was rebuking them even in their fast. You know, we don't want this to be a religious exercise. Otherwise, it can just be some other formality. I want it to be personal to you, personal to God, where you're saying, God, I want to encounter you. I want to break through. I want to get to the next place that you have for me. Is there anything in my life that I need to disconnect from? That's the question you need to ask. And then you need to ask this, God, how do I disconnect from it and draw closer to you? And that's all you got to do. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into a few things. But this is what you can expect. Everybody say expect. This is what you can expect when you begin to fast. He said, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? How many want to see a fast where this is, I believe, a corporate benefit to fasting, to where chains of injustice are broken? You know, this last week we took up a Christmas offering, by the way, and we gave $11,000 to that. Amen? Give yourselves a big hand. And the church is matching it even, and I think we're giving more. But about a third of it or more is going to A21 campaign, which is a campaign in ministry where people are bound in servitude and forced slavery in the sex trade industry. And you know what? Fasting, the Bible says, looses chains of injustice. I believe that's a corporate benefit to fast. That we could fast here and maybe in Iraq and Venezuela and Singapore, a chain of injustice could be broken just by you praying right here. That the oppressed could be free. That every yoke is broken. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? You know, God wants to end poverty. Maybe by me fasting with food here in the spirit, break something and somebody can eat somewhere else. I don't know. This is what God does. God has a way of answering prayer, breaking things in the spirit. He has a way of doing all this stuff to where chains are broken, the oppressed are free, people that are impoverished are cared for with food, shelter, clothes. In verse 8, it says this, then there's some personal benefits. Those are some corporate benefits. Some personal benefits are, it says, then your, this is you. Everybody say your. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. That's your personal renewal, your personal revival, your personal lamp, your personal fire. It'll break forth when you fast and pray. He said, this is what to expect. And he said, then it goes on to say this, your healing will quickly appear. Maybe you've been waiting on a physical healing. Maybe you've been waiting on something. Maybe you fasting and praying is a key that connects that to you. God to you in a way where healing quickly comes. And this is, then your righteousness will go before you. Righteousness is walking in right standing with God. It's holiness. If you've been struggling in some area of sin, maybe an area of unholiness, righteousness is going to go before you. All of a sudden where you've struggled and you struggled and you struggled, that thing can get broken just like that because the Holy Spirit is on you and you're watching and you all of a sudden you hear something and you receive something, God's word, you apply it and then all of a sudden you're free and righteousness goes before you. And then it says this, and the glory of God is your rear guard. How many want to walk that way? With righteousness going before you, glory behind you, everywhere you go. He said, this is the kind of fast I've chosen to break the bonds of injustice, to set the captive free, to help the poor with shelter, with clothes, and for you personally, to give you personal revival, personal renewal, for righteousness to come, for healing to come, and for glory to come in your life. That's why we're fasting and praying. That's why 2015 is going to be your best year ever. And when we do this individually and we do this as a family, I believe our church is going to explode. I believe that God's going to do great things. I believe there's going to be people healed, set free, saved. I'm praying this church would be a wellspring here for the city. That people could come in and be a place of healing. People could come and just go to another church, but come here to get healed. And in place of salvation, discipleship. We're praying that God would start at the end of January that small groups would have at least 8 small groups starting throughout the city. Discipleship would happen. We're praying for a youth ministry to start this next year. That'd be great for junior high through high school. We're praying for a young adult ministry this next year to start. And so we're praying for impact to happen. But what are you praying for individually? What is it you need? That's why we pray. That's why we fast. And that's why we're going to draw closer. Amen? Stand up with me. I want to pray for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to bring you into a better place. And all we have to do is call on him and seek him, and we'll encounter him. Amen? So I want to pray for you that that'll happen. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives corporately and as a family. And Lord, I pray for everyone here, Lord, as we pray to finish our year strong and start the new one next year. Lord, I pray that you begin to speak to us about things that we can let go of. I ask you to speak to us about areas of our life that we need to disconnect and how we can connect to you more. Lord, I pray that we would be a Bible reading church and a praying church and a worship-filled church, and that songs would come out of worship. Lord, I pray that during this season there'd be songs that would be written, that would be recorded by our team, and there would be maybe ideas for books that would come, and there'd be testimonies given of healing, and there would be a great restoration that would happen in families, that there'd be some family members that aren't born again that would be saved, and there would be reconciliation, Lord. We pray for that. And I pray that you begin to speak to us all about things that we can do to draw near and draw closer. In Jesus' name. And I also want to pray for you. If you're here today and you're like, I know that I need to draw closer, but I don't know for sure that I'm even on step one yet. And that's that you may know that in your life right now that you're not right with God the way you should be. Maybe there's something in your life and you know that I need to connect back to him first and foremost. Before I go on the journey, I need to make sure that I'm secure in heaven and that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and that I need to make that right to now, and I want to pray with you. So if that's you today and you want to be counted in that prayer, and you know that you want to end 2014 on the right note, and I'm telling you, you'll never forget this day. If you're recommitting your life to God, you'll never forget this day that on the last Sunday of 2014, you gave your life to Jesus and you recommitted to him. I remember the month and the year, November of 1992, and where I was, and I passed by that church just the other day. And you'll remember that here. If that's you and you need to prayer and you'd like to recommit your life to God or you'd like to make him the Lord of your life, just raise your hand. Look at me and raise your hand right now. Is there anybody here that'd like to pray that? Amen. I see that hand. Is there anybody else who just you want to say, hey, today's my day. Count me in that. Amen. Is there anybody else who just pray that prayer? Amen. Before I close. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray, okay? Let's all pray together. Just repeat this after me. Just say, Father, I commit my life to you this Sunday, the last Sunday of 2014. I give you my life wholeheartedly and forever. Forgive me of my sins, renew me, and be the Lord of my life. I trust you. Lead me, O God. And I thank you that my name is written in your book of life. And I'll be with you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a big clap offering. Amen.